Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
We look at the Bible as just this, you know, this book, this is kind of collecting dust on our bookshelves, and maybe we go to it if we need to look up a passage of scripture or something like that, but we don't realize how valuable it is until we reach in and grab hold of its truths. It felt as if I was in the arms of God.
I'm Jim Burns. When Shannon Etheridge was a teenager, she led a double life. In the church community, she was actively involved in youth group and service. But outside of that, she was living a life of sexual promiscuity. Then, on the third day of school of her junior year in high school, Shannon was driving a car that hit and fatally injured a woman who had been riding a bike on the roadway in front of her. Well, the events of that moment changed Shannon's life forever. However, she did not immediately begin loving God without limits right away. Well, during the next half hour, I'll continue my conversation with best-selling author Shannon Etheridge about the lessons in unconditional love and forgiveness that she learned from the events of August 29th, 1984, and how that changed her life. This is one of the most remarkable stories we've ever aired on Homeward, and it starts right now.
From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference makers since 1899. Welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Today on the program, part two of the truly remarkable testimony of Shannon Etheridge, author, speaker, educator, counselor. She's written a book called Completely His, and we're focusing on loving God without limits. If you missed part one of the program that we're in the middle of right now, we're getting ready to start part two of this conversation. Both part one and part two are available as audio streams and also as podcasts. If you'd like to podcast the program along with us, we do so with our Monday through Friday edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast section, hit the podcast button, and you can start your subscription. And now, here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about loving God without limits. Shannon Etheridge with us again. This is day two of a continuing conversation. We had the emotional conversation of the decade for Homeward as we were talking about Shannon being actually in an accident where she actually hit a woman on a bicycle and the woman died. And in many ways, she's carrying on her legacy. That will probably whet your appetite if you didn't hear last time's program. Her book is called Completely His, Loving Jesus Without Limits. You probably know about Shannon Etheridge and the great work that she does. She's a best-selling author of the Every Woman's Battle series. Great books. Interviewed not too long ago on Every Woman's Marriage, and that was another great conversation. This time we're talking about not just intimacy with your spouse or learning to be sexually pure, but we're talking about intimacy with God and how we can love God without limits. Sometimes God allows us to even have a tragedy happen in our lives. Shannon, welcome back to our program.
Thanks for having me back, Jim.
Great to have you, and you have a great word picture, and this is just kind of a fun story about how God reaches into our lives, sometimes retrieves us from where we don't belong and into places where we do. Tell us about an experience you had with a cat.
Miss E was our family cat. You know, one day I went down to my study and was going to sit down and pay some bills, and I noticed that someone had left the dryer door open. I guess you can already tell where this is going. And there were some towels in there, so I just closed the door and turned it on high heat for 30 minutes to make sure they were good and dry before I started folding them, sat down to do my bills, and I hear ba-boom, ba-boom. And I thought, well, somebody must have put some wet sneakers in there or something. 30 minutes later, I go back to fold the towels, and I reach in there and pull out Miss E, the cat.
And Missy was alive.
Missy was alive. She was dazed and confused like crazy. We poured water on her, but she hobbled over to the cold air vent in the floor and just laid down on it for about 3 hours. And I liken this experience to the fact that, you know, sometimes we look at the Bible as just this, you know, this book, this is kind of collecting dust on our bookshelves, and maybe we go to it if we need to look up a passage of scripture or something like that, but we don't realize how valuable it is until we reach in and grab hold of its truths. Just like I didn't realize, you know, I was thinking it was just some old sneakers in that dryer. I didn't realize that something very precious to us was on the inside and that I needed to reach in and grab hold of it in order to, you know, keep it alive.
Well, it's a great word picture. And actually, I'm glad that Miss E is alive and well.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that so oftentimes, you know, something happens in our life and we have to figure out, how does this work? I was talking with somebody who had just had a tragedy that's working out really good right now. And, you know, we looked at the scripture, you know, things work together for good.
Yes.
For those who love God.
And that's been the verse that both Gary Jarcifer and I have clung to, you know, Gary being the husband of the woman that was killed, that all things, not just the good things, but all things work together for our good. And it's just been a process of us looking beyond this dark cloud to see the silver lining, just all the amazing things that God has done in each of our lives as a result of this tragedy, that we've truly turned this tragedy into a triumph.
Now, you've talked about this tragedy. We talked about it last time. I want you to give us kind of the Reader's Digest version, if you would, of it before, because some of our listeners didn't hear that, and it really is one of these burning bush experiences for you.
Yeah, well, I was 16 years old, third day of my junior year of high school, and I accidentally hit a woman on a bicycle, never having saw her, and she was killed immediately. And I was so afraid of facing her family, but they invited me over the night before the funeral, and her husband just wrapped his arms around me and just let me bawl into his shirt. And he just had this loving embrace. It was just, it felt as if I was in the arms of God. And he sat me down in the bay window to tell me about Marjorie's life. And he basically just said that they had been volunteers with Wycliffe Bible Translators for years, that Marjorie had been a very godly woman, and that he wanted to pass on her legacy of being a godly woman onto me, that he wanted me to learn how to love Jesus without limits as well.
Pretty incredible. Now, one of the things that I love and adore about you is how authentic and real you are, and your life has not been the life of a, you know, the singing nun, so to speak.
It ain't been a bed of roses.
No. But you say that the woman who lives life completely his, you know, lives an irresistible life. And you learned a lesson about that irresistible life, if you would, in Christianity. Early in your adult years, you walked into a party or something. You were 20. You were living with a guy who was much older when you were in mortuary college. What was that learning experience all about?
Well, I walked into a church knowing that I needed to give my life back to God and had my 39-year-old boyfriend on my elbow.
You're 20.
Yeah, right. I was 19. Yeah, at that time, I was 20 and he was 40.
Yeah.
And this couple came up to us, Charlie and Martha Squibb, and they just welcomed us and chatted with us for the longest time. And I knew I wanted to come back to that church, not just as much to learn about God as I just was fascinated with this particular couple. And they could tell that there was a 20-year age difference between the two of us. And I said that we lived together down the road and we were not married. And so it was so evident. They had every right to turn their back and just kind of put their nose up in the air and go, they don't belong here. But they were very welcoming. And so soon, my boyfriend figured out that he didn't really want to go back to church. Well, I kept going to this church. Well, that's where I met Greg. And had it not been for Charlie and Martha's irresistibility that just drew me into that congregation, I'm not sure that I would have met Greg and any of the rest of this would have happened. And so I've always tried to exude that unconditional love that the Squibbs exuded toward me and that Gary Jarcifer exuded toward me.
You know, there's a biblical word, it's called grace. You know, unmerited favor. They showed you unmerited favor.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the church doesn't always do that. Sometimes the church is not a welcoming place to people who are doing the kind of thing that you were doing with this, you know, 40-year-old man living with him and whatnot. But I'm so grateful for those people along the way who welcomed you. Doesn't mean that they agreed with what you were doing.
No.
They just simply said, keep coming back. And you're not going to keep coming back if they're pointing a finger at you and telling you what a rotten, horrible person you are.
They weren't as concerned with what I was doing as they were with who I was. And they knew that I was looking for love. And they knew that that church was a place that I could fully experience it. And they were right.
Loved your book, Completely His, Loving Jesus Without Limits, because it really is about intimacy with God. And one of the kind of messages that you have in that is that you talk about 7 secrets to basking in God's presence that are worth walking through just a little bit. But the first is that we remember that all love affairs are carried out in private. I want you to talk about that.
Well, we can worship God at church and we can involve ourselves in a women's Bible study, but it's really those intimate times that we have alone with God where we can communicate with Him with reckless abandon, that we can just pour out our hearts before Him and that we can truly hear His voice speaking to us. And so I say that if you're not having intimate, quiet, personal times with God, you really don't have an intimate relationship with God.
You know, it makes sense because I think a lot of women and men, they live their lives at such a fast pace that they don't find solitude. Jesus went away and prayed on a regular basis. And if Jesus needs solitude, private time, then we need that private time. But a lot of times we are so busy doing work with the kids and work in life and, you know, keeping the house going and all the other kind of things that we sort of miss this solitude. So basically it's intentional. Finding time, making time is the word.
Yeah.
Actually, you can't, it's harder to
find time.
You're going to make it. That's very, very good. A second secret to basking in God's presence involves having a particular place of meeting. Why do you see that as so important?
you know, there's a particular place that I have established in my home where every time I pass that place, I know that God is there waiting on me to have that intimate time of fellowship with Him, and it draws me there. Whereas if we just kind of, you know, I'll have my quiet time whenever, wherever, and we don't have an established routine, it's easy to just go through the day without having it at all.
You also say a special time of the day.
Yeah, and a lot of people say, well, you need to have your quiet times first thing in the morning. You know, I think that's a little bit too legalistic. I don't think that God makes us punch a time clock at a particular time each day. I say do whatever time works best for you, whatever time you can get away from all the other distractions, whether that's first thing in the morning, whether that's on your lunch hour in the stairwell at your office building, whether that's at night after everyone's gone to bed. Just give Him your best time.
Right, and I love this because I think this is, you know, this is kind of practical Christianity 101 in many ways, but what it really does is when we do these disciplines, you know, we draw closer to God and we experience His incredible intimacy. And intimacy is much more, I think, important with our relationship with God than it is with even another person.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we learn from other people. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Shannon Etheridge with us today. What a joy to have her with us.
Always a joy. A tough conversation, though, in some places when you think about Shannon's testimony. And yet she writes a book called Completely His, talking about loving God without limits. If anyone would know that, it would be Shannon Etheridge. We encourage you here at Homeward to dig a little deeper into your own family story, to have that limitless faith, as it were, where you're not there's nothing holding you back. 10 building blocks for a solid family is a good place for you to start. Just getting real with your spouse, with yourself, about your faith. You can order a copy of Jim's book, 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family, when you go to homeward.com.
Well, during the course of the next 24 hours, your priorities will influence every decision you make. Well, that makes me wonder, of all the priorities in your life, which one's the most important? Well, I'm Jim Burns of Homeward with a real-life answer to that question. Now, if you ask most people which is their most important priority, well, they'd probably say it's all about me. Well, that kind of attitude doesn't seem to leave much room for God in that person's life, and yet they still also believe they're spiritual. It's like the guy who said he was a Christ follower, but only to a certain extent. He said, I'd like to buy $5 worth of God. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep. I don't want anything to really change in my life. I just want ecstasy. The Christian life just isn't always super exciting. In fact, it may seem rather ordinary at times. Even so, putting God first in your life is not only a good idea, it's crucial both now and forever. Putting God first guarantees you a life that will last for all eternity. With Real Life Answers, I'm Jim Burns of Homeward. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Shannon Etheridge with us today. We're talking about loving God without limits. Shannon is one of the nation's top advocates for sexual integrity, written several award-winning books. Every Woman's Battle series is her series, and she has just done such a wonderful job with that. Married to Greg for 16 years. They have two children. They live in East Texas. And by the way, there's a link on our website today called shannonetheridge.com if you'd like to learn more about what she's doing. We don't always have the links of our guests on it, but we sure do with Shannon because I want you to know everything about her and how you can be helped by the incredible mission and message that she does have. We were talking about 7 secrets to basking God's presence, and I'd mentioned that there were 7. I'm not going to have time to go through every one of them, and you'll have to, of course, get the book Completely His to go on with that. But I do want to ask you, Shannon, you know, you're a writer, so I'm sure that journaling comes quite easily for you. Do you recommend that women actually write letters to God as well?
I do, and not just write letters to God, but also write what you sense God saying to you. And you know, you
say that's a difference too.
It's a big difference. And you know, you say that writing comes easy to me. No, it really doesn't. It really is.
Well, you're a great writer. Always think it comes
thank
easy.
You. But when you sit down with your journal, you know, you may not feel like writing that day. But what my experience has been is when you start pouring out your heart on that paper, your feelings catch up with your actions.
Right.
And those are really great spiritual markers that when I thumb back through what I wrote 10 years ago, I'm blown away at what God has done.
You know, that's me too. I probably express myself better in writing. So I'll write Kathy a lot of notes sometimes.
Aww.
But in my journal, I'll go back through my journal and go, oh my, I don't feel like I've grown. I feel like I'm stale or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I look at that and went, oh my goodness, look what I was going through, you know, so long ago. So I keep those journals. In fact, about 50% of the nation communicates through writing better than they do verbally. And so, you know, who says you have to say your prayers? Mm. You can also write your prayers.
Absolutely.
And, you know, every day in the Jim Burns world, I go through kind of writing my prayers out sometimes. And, you know, I can't even read my writing, but he can.
Sure.
But it's a way for me to express that. But I'll throw down a scripture and I'll throw down different things of thanksgiving and confession and whatnot.
It's very therapeutic, isn't
You're exactly right. Now, you encourage women to also go after what you call the ultimate wedding gifts. And I loved an illustration about something that your son Matthew gave you. I think he was in kindergarten, is that right? And he actually asked you for the money. Talk about that story.
Well, he asked me to borrow $5. It was right before Christmas, so I figured it was probably for a Christmas present. So Christmas morning, he gives me this little box and $3 change. So I'm thinking, well, okay, $2, what could possibly be in the box?
Right.
It was this plastic ruby ring with cubic zirconas, but it actually resembled my grandmother's ring that she used to wear I was a little girl. And so I talk about how... Yeah, one of the greatest gifts in life, because he gave it to me with so much love. I mean, the look on this kid's face when he gave it to me, when I told him that it looked like my grandmother's, oh, he just lit up. So I've looked at that situation and laughed at how that one of the greatest gifts in life I've received, I actually bought for myself. But, you know, kind of the same...
With change.
With change.
Such a deal.
But kind of the same is true with God. We don't give any gifts to God that he hasn't first given to us, that he has given us all of the provision to speak blessings to him, to pray to him, to sing to him, to rejoice over him. All of these are faculties that God has given to us.
You know, and since we're talking about wedding gifts, I remember either in this book or in another book, you talked about trying on a wedding dress that was just a phenomenal wedding dress. You couldn't afford it.
No,
you know,
$2,000. And what had happened is I invited my husband to come with me to pick out my wedding dress. Not that I was going to let him see which one I picked out. I just wanted him to tell me what styles he liked and didn't like. I didn't want to walk down the hall with him going, why did she pick that dress? And so the first one I walked out in, he just was like, wow, that's the dress. And I kept saying, it can't be the dress because you can't see me in it and I can't afford this one anyway. Well, I tried on 11 other dresses and he kept saying, the first one is the dress. Well, I left depressed because I couldn't afford it. So 2 days later, he gives me a card and he says, if you will allow me, I would like to give you that wedding dress as a wedding gift. And he bought it for me. He knew I couldn't afford it, but he could, so he did. And the same thing is true in our relationship with Christ. And we were called in the Bible the bride of Christ, but he knew that we couldn't afford our wedding dress for the wedding supper of the Lamb, which is to be clothed in righteousness. And so he freely purchased that for us by shedding his blood on the cross. And so we can hold our head high and wear white proudly at the wedding supper of the Lamb and know that we are truly the pure and spotless bride of Christ.
I love that story, and I love that illustration. There's people who don't feel that. I mean, they know it intellectually, but they're not feeling it because they're so focused on their past, or they're focused on the past sin, mistakes, you know,
their
life
steam still in the gutter.
They say, well, you know, that's beautiful, but you know what? It ain't working for me. Mm. What do you say to them?
You have got to engage in that intimate relationship with God and let him speak the truth over you. And the things that you read about in the Bible, know that God is saying those to you. This is not just a book about saints and sinners that lived 2,000 years ago. This is God's love letter that he wrote to you. So when you read in the book of Hosea about how Hosea married Gomer, even though he knew that she would prostitute herself and be unfaithful to him, that's the illustration of God being forever committed to his church, and that it does not matter how unworthy we are of God's love, because it's not based on our worthiness. It's based on God's goodness.
Right. And God loves us not for what we do, but for who we are.
Yeah.
You know, his children. That makes so much sense. As I was reading through Completely His, I was thinking these are love lessons in many ways from God. I was just thinking there's one lesson after another. One of the lessons that really struck me was a lesson you called the multiplication of our influence, and you told a story about Margaret Jean Jones. What a great lady.
She's been one of my greatest inspirations as well. My mother actually went to school with Margaret Jean, and when she was 17 years old, she was stricken with a disease that basically caused her muscles to become as stiff as bone. And so she has laid horizontal in a bed for 50 years in her home. And of course, she has caretakers come in, but she wrote a great book called The World in My Mirror. And to imagine how this woman would even write a book, I mean, she had a typewriter on her lap on a tray table. And this was in the early 70s. We didn't have, you know, computers back then. And she would just have her mother change the paper. And she wrote this book about her life. And she would say how oftentimes she would cry tears but she couldn't move to wipe them or to dry them. But she would remember how Jesus Christ hung on the cross, suspended, unable to move, but yet he still gave glory to God, and that's what she wanted to do with her life, and that's why she chose to write the book, even in her state.
That's absolutely incredible. And, you know, one of the things I think we forget is that we do have a multiplication of influence. We don't have her story, but we have it with our children, with our spouses.
Everybody has a story.
Right. And the fascinating side to it is sometimes we have to get in touch with what's the story behind the story.
Right.
And it seems to me that a lot of times with people, we need to first work on our own intimacy with God before we would ever try to help our kids or help our spouse, you know, grow in their relationship with God.
That is the key. That, as I mentioned earlier, that God implants things within us that blossom and grow into spiritual fruit and spiritual maturity. But God doesn't implant those things in us unless we're alone with him and hearing his voice and relating with him in that intimate way. It's kind of the same way with a married couple. If the only time they ever spent together was out in public, they wouldn't have a very intimate relationship, and they certainly wouldn't have any babies. Right. And the same is true spiritually, that it's in our alone, intimate times with God that he imparts these things into us that he wants to bring to life.
Now, you encourage women to have an Isaac ministry instead of an Ishmael ministry. The closing moments of our time, you know, talk about that.
Well, so often women want a ministry. They want to make impact in this world, and they want to make a difference for God. And so they kind of force through the process and try to make something happen on their own. Well, that's exactly what Abraham and Sarah did when Ishmael was conceived. If you can be patient, God will bring that ministry to life in his own way, in his own time, if you will just diligently remain intentional in keeping that intimacy alive in your relationship with him. Because what you want is an Isaac ministry, one that is truly ordained and born of God.
Boy, that is great. Thank you so much for your great comments. You know, one of the things I was thinking is, you know, it's either the pain of regret or the pain of discipline. And as we think about the pain of discipline, it's even in our relationship with God that will then give us freedom to be all that he wants us to be and to experience the loving arms of God without limits. And you've helped us greatly today. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity, Jim.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Shannon Etheridge here on the Homeward Broadcast. I mentioned earlier the podcast option, so you don't miss a minute of our daily Monday through Friday editions of the program. I also want to remind you that the audio streaming here is free. It doesn't cost you anything. You just go to homeward.com and hit radio broadcast. You can listen to this program over and over again. You can dig through the archives and find one that you like. Or if you'd like a copy of the full-length audio CD of that program, there's a minor cost involved in producing and shipping that, so all we ask is a gift of any amount in support of our ministry, and we'll thank you for that gift by sending you a copy of the CD. To get yours, write to Homeward, P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693.
Loving God Without Limits has been our theme today on Homeward. What an amazing story from Shannon Etheridge about love, loss, faith, forgiveness, and just great points today. And by the way, if you missed any part of today's program, or if you'd like to listen to it again, go to homeward.com. You can download a copy. You can listen to it online, podcast it, and Roger will tell you more about how you can do that in just a moment. But before he does, I want to actually share a brief word about the importance of mentoring. You've been hearing Shannon Etheridge talk about how Gary Jarstfer and the entire family really was so welcoming after Marjorie's death. Well, Gary really became somewhat of a spiritual mentor to Shannon in the days and years after Marjorie's accident, which is actually phenomenal. Well, I believe that everyone needs to have at least one mentor in their life. In fact, finding a mentor or mentors in your life may be one of the best things you can do for yourself as well as for your kids. A mentor can affirm, encourage, challenge, push, warn, and even correct when necessary. And I'm convinced that people who have a mentor have a great chance surviving and thriving in life, even during difficult circumstances. In addition to finding a great mentor, one of the most fulfilling parts of life can be found in becoming a mentor to someone else. You don't have to be perfect in order to be an effective mentor. You simply must be willing to enter into a meaningful relationship and share your life with someone else. In fact, I wouldn't even call yourself a mentor. I wouldn't call the other people mentors. I would just begin that relationship and let that evolve. Here's some suggestions for finding a mentor. Think about what life issues you would like a trusted friend's advice on. Think about people you know who you respect and think can help you, and then begin to spend time with them. What I've done in my life is I've just made a list of things I'd like to talk about and ask if I can go to lunch with somebody, and over a time period, they become a mentor. Also, some suggestions on being a mentor to someone else. Consider what areas of your life you can most effectively advise and support someone else in. If you're like me, you probably would say, well, there's probably not a whole lot. But you know what? There are things that you can help a younger person. Just last night, Kathy and I were at dinner with a couple, and we realized that we had spent some time mentoring them as we talked about relationships, as we talked about raising kids. They were much younger than us, I must admit. In a sense, the relationship just evolved into that, and I would imagine there's going to be some more time together as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing how much we can learn about our faith just by living out life with other people. And Jim, as you were talking about the podcast and audio streams, you know, tens of thousands of people every month are streaming this program, are going to our podcast and having that delivered right to their iPod or MP3 player. And we're able to provide those services free of charge because of the faithful financial support of listeners just like you. If you can give a gift in support of our ministry today, we'd love to hear from you. Your gift of $50, $75, $100 or more goes such a long way toward supporting this ministry, especially now during the middle of summer. Well, actually, summer's starting to wind down. Send your gift to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, where the Swallows go, the zip code 92693. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.